Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you once again this Tuesday night for joining us. We were having a little difficulty, but we're now on. Thank you for your patience and your consideration. And I'll greet everybody in the name of Jesus. And hope that you have had a great day. And that God has been real good to you. And everything is going well for you tonight. Excuse my tardiness. I was having complications, but God is good. He's good all the time. And good evening to the callers. Tonight we want to go ahead and give a shout out to our partners and our friends and all our loved ones. We want to give a shout out to our host, Sister Beverly Beasley of Granny's Place, and her pastor at the First Free Will Baptist Church in DeSoto. And we want to give a shout out to Pastor Michael Morgan Sr., who is our gracious pastor of the Shady Grove Primitive Baptist Church. And we just thank you so much for joining us. I see we have a caller on the line. Can you hear me? Caller,
yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I
can.
Can
you hear me
well.
Now?
All right. Thank you for calling, hanging in there with me. We was having some challenges there, but God is, he always have a ram in the bush, called my husband.
A ram in the thicket, that's it. Yeah, because I didn't start texting folks. I'm like, okay, now, did no one tell me we were going to have a Bible study tonight?
Okay, right. You know,
yes.
I would have called and let you know, but we are here.
I know that's right.
We
in the name of
going.
Jesus, that's it.
Yes, right.
That's right.
So I hope everybody's doing great this evening, and how are you doing?
Oh, man. Oh, at one point, I was kind of rocky there for a second. You know,
okay.
I've been with my brother-in-law today. But, but now I had three young ladies at different times that, you know, contacted me about what they're going through with the depression and stuff. I said, okay, Velma, you got to put yourself on back there, right on back there in that back burner right there. So I just said, look at God. He said, Bill,
okay.
I got things you can do, girl. Get the snap out of it. So I'm better
okay.
now.
All right. In the name of
yeah.
Jesus. You know, he works out things, and he just helps us with everything that we need to be helped with. And all we have to do is ask. We have not because we ask not. That, you know, that is, as Sister Shanine would say, that's one of the favorite scriptures of mine. We have not because we ask not. You know, he said we can ask and believe and trust him, and he going to give it to us, right? That's what he going to
right.
do. And I'm a true that's believer. Right. I am a true believer. So thank y'all for being patient with me tonight. Thank y'all for coming on and sharing tonight with me. I'm sorry for the delay. I ask that you forgive the operator, but it wasn't me. It was the Blog Talk. Sometimes, you know, I guess they were having difficulties on the, getting in. So God bless you. The floor is open to anyone who wants to say good evening, or they have a comment, or just want to let us know that you're there. I'm opening up the floor to those on the line right now.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, family. This is Sister C calling in from Dallas. We're glad that the technical difficulties are solved. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Waiting on the word. It's going to be a good word coming tonight. All words are good.
It must
but,
be.
You know, when
it
you got some
be.
Situations, I just feel like I open myself up to just really, really receive. I'm like, okay, it's what's up?
Okay, come on. You got to come on with it. The devil meant it for bad, but you know God meant it for our good, okay?
Yeah,
he
right.
He let us have it. He wasn't going to let us have it, but he always got a ram in the bush, and I'm going to say thank God for my husband, because he just done called, brought me another number to call in on. I said, well, okay, one I didn't know nothing about, but that's a blessing within itself.
Oh, amen.
God
amen.
Is good.
Thank you.
God is good. Thank Carla, God. Would you mind go ahead giving us our announcements while we wait for Pastor? I just text him. He told him, we in here, waiting on him.
Amen. Well, for those of you who are on the call, I'd like to say good evening again. And just like to let you know, we're here every Monday through Friday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. And Tuesday night, we're right here at Blog Talk Radio. No matter what, technical difficulties and all, we are right here on Blog Talk Radio. And for those of you who may have called in tonight, because sometimes we know that everyone don't get a chance to make that call in the morning because of work or whatever it may be. I'm not sure if Sister Shanine has made it to the call, but I was trying to get that number for our morning call. It's 605-475-4730, and that code is 937429, the pound sign. And again, that number is 605-475-4730, and our code is 937429 pound. And that's our morning call. And we also like to let you know that we're on social media. We're on Facebook. And for those of you who may be on social media, make sure you go to our Facebook page, and that's Our Ladder House. Again, that's Our Ladder House. And we also encourage each and every one of you that have a Facebook page to also post and let the people know where you're getting fed at. We get fed here every morning and every Tuesday evening. And put those posts out there and let the people know where they can come to so that we can continue to bless the man of God and bless our ministry and grow the ministry. People don't know about us. They don't come to hear about us. They want to know, what you got going on? Why are you so excited? Why are you so happy? Let them know, this is why I'm so excited. This is why I'm so happy. Come on out and be a part of the Ladder House team and just come in and get a word from God. Amen. Amen. And also our 5:30 prayers for Pastor, our 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. prayers. Make sure that you stop and say a prayer and keep him lifted up before the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus, for those announcements. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for all that you do to promote and help praise, give the glory to the God and to the Ladder House. It is truly an awesome, awesome, awesome hour that we have on Tuesday nights. I've grown a lot. We've got a lot of good teaching that we've been blessed with, and I just thank God for you all at the Ladder House, and I thank God for Dr. Carter. With that said, does anyone else have anything they want to say or tell us about a burning testimony or give us some information or just share tonight? The floor is open. Come on, y'all. Let's just fellowship while we wait for Pastor and find out how's everybody's day gone. We know that we made it through. We're down here in this Texas weather. And God, you know, I'm going to give first testimony because, you know, I got to tell this because God is just so awesome. He's so good. My era went out Saturday, Friday night. And when I tell you that I thought I was in close to where I ain't going. It was really, really bad. It was just real bad, and I've suffered through Friday and all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and they came out yesterday and looked at it, but thanks be to God, they got me going again today. God is so good. They came and report, came and fixed it, and now I'm cool again. And I just give God all the glory and all the honor for Him being so, so good and so, so faithful to me. So I just praise Him tonight for air, because it wasn't good. It wasn't good. So I want y'all to praise God with me. Let's give Him a praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, because we do understand here in Texas, it is not good to not have any air.
It is not.
So I understand, and we do give God the glory for you getting your air on. Amen.
Amen, because it wasn't that nice. Amen. So, Karen, do you have any anything that you want to share with us, how your day went, or anybody else? The floor is open.
Of course,
ain't got nobody
muted. The day is an awesome, awesome day. Just being alive and well, and just, you know, celebrating today and celebrating life as it is. I also want to remind everyone that come to the morning call. Pastor has given us some assignments, and that's to write in to our email also, and that's at thelhwork@gmail.com, and that's thelhwork@gmail.com. You guys, give me a minute because it has changed, but that's it. It's thelhwork@gmail.com. And I'm not for sure if Sister Shanine is on the call to let us know about some of those assignments that he's given. I know one of the assignments is for us to read start learning to read more. And he's asking us to read at least 5 verses within a day as we grow in that area of our reading. Also, for those who have those scriptures that are inspiring to us, that our go-to scriptures, send those in. Sometimes for those who are working and not able to come to the call in the morning and not able to give what that scripture means to them, you can send that in by email. Let us know what the scripture is and what it means to you, and we will relay that to the call and let everyone know what your scripture, your go-to scripture is. Also, he asked that we send in, and I'm not for sure, I'm just, again, asked if Sister Shanine is on the call to explain those other scriptures that he's asking for us to send in, because some of us have gone through some things and maybe had some things that have happened in our lives, and I think he's asking us that, you know, to find a scripture that may fit that situation, and we can, he wants to start teaching on some of that so that we can be whole and feel good about ourselves. Sometimes, you know, things hold us back and, you know, keep us from growing in certain areas. Even though we are fully grown men and women, there are still some things that may have happened in our lives that have us just all, you know, caught up in those things, and we cannot get past that. And, you know, he's wanting to get with us one-on-one and talk about some of those things so that we can get past some of those things. And if Sister Shanine is available to let us know what that assignment is in detail, because I'm not for sure how they're working, because, you know. Amen.
Sister Carla, she's not on yet.
She's not on yet. Okay, because I know that she had been trying to call in. I did let her know that we were on, so I'll text her back and let her know.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Again, I apologize to those of you who had a hard time getting in, because I had one too. They wouldn't even, the host couldn't get in. But it's okay now. Call us. That number is 310-982-4126. Those of you that are listening by cyberspace computer, you can call in and join us now at 310-982-4126. And I believe the 5 scriptures were supposed to be on promiscuity. Oh, I said it right. That's the only time I'm saying it right now, y'all. Amen. And they were very, I found it very interesting and challenging reading through those scriptures. You know, Google, you can Google anything today and you can get your answers and you can get the scriptures and then go to your Bible and read, and some of them were given explanations. But the main thing that I found out about it is that we will not inherit the kingdom of God being promiscuous or being lascivious. That word was just ultimately really, really interesting. If you go and look it up, you know, it's just lewd behavior. It's just behavior that's not becoming to God. So I say, oh, wow, I don't ever want to try to do anything that's not going to get me into the kingdom, especially after these 3 days that I had. With that or not on, so certainly I shall repent every day for anything and everything that I did consciously and unconsciously against my Father. I don't ever want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I do not want to be found doing what I'm not supposed to do when He comes. So I just think that we should check ourselves and go ahead and talk to Pastor about it and go ahead and get it out if you haven't been able to overcome or you haven't been able to just get past the things that you've done in your life that were promiscuous or lasciviousness, that you committed these acts. God will forgive you. He will. All you have to do is repent and not do them anymore. And I know us as women, me, myself, I have to speak for myself anyway, we have had some things go on in our lives that just wasn't really pleasing to God. And we just have to be cognizant of that and ask God to forgive us and not do those things anymore and just keep praising Him and trusting Him that He will deliver us. I have this thing about when I don't want to do something or when I'm faced with something, any amount of temptation that I can't control, I tell Him, God, please take this away from me. Help me with the way I feel today, or give me strength to get past this, because, you know, He makes a way of escape. He will. He will fix it for you that if that ain't what you want to do. And you ask Him and tell Him just, see, I talk to God just like I talk to everybody else. I'm just down and playing with Him. I don't want to do it. Okay, please take this away, Father. I don't want to feel like this today. God, help me through it, and He will make a way of escape. And God is so, so awesome and so good and so faithful to you that He'll do it. You sometimes you don't want to because you might be asking amiss, but sometimes, you know, if you're sincere and faithful to Him and just really trust and believe that He's going to do it, He'll do it. You just have to have a kind heart, an open heart, and an open mind to receive, because the first you know it starts in your mind. And when you let that sit there, let it fester in your mind, you know, that weakens you and it weakens the flesh. So I've had some fleshly issues and in my life and time. I've had some things that weren't too pleasing to me, myself, and that I don't even want to tell nobody I did. You know, it was just something that happened in life. So if we could go ahead and confess those things, it would be great. Call the pastor up and give him a call, and y'all talk like adults, because I'm sure everybody can do that. We all can be adults about the conversation and just be with and just tell pastor, and I'm sure he'll have the answer for you. He will have the answer for you. I see that the man of God is on the line, and if anybody that has anything they want to share or they want to say hello before I turn the floor over to him, feel free at this time. The floor is open.
Hey, Sister Lewis. Good evening. It's Samantha. I just wanted to say hey to everybody.
Hey, Samantha. How you doing?
Hey. How are you?
All right, it's good to hear your voice tonight.
you too.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
His wife.
Go ahead.
Hey, Sister Lewis. Good evening. This is Chanel.
Hey, Chanel Hummerbird. How you doing?
Hi.
All right. Anybody else?
Hi, good evening. This is Lacey.
That's my girl. Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Lacey. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I am so fine. It's so good to hear you all tonight. Thank you for joining us. It is just wonderful. I miss all of y'all. Oh, I miss y'all. I want to see y'all so bad.
we will soon.
We will. Hopefully, I'll get there. It's going to be all good. It's going to be all good. Anybody else? All right. Well, if no one else wants to say good evening or tell us you're on and let us know you're on the line, I'm going to go ahead and open the floor to none other than Pastor Shelton D. Carter. You have the floor, sir.
Amen. Can you hear me? He's number one.
We can hear you.
All right. I'm batting 1,000 in, I think. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Good evening. Sorry for the delays, but it's good to be present tonight. I had a very long day, started early. However, I'm present tonight to do what it is we believe God is leading us to do. Amen. I'm so thankful for all the responses. And your cooperation as it relates to the different assignments that we are posing unto the people. You'll be getting responses, amen, most of you all. And then even for you all that took courage in the other challenge that I presented for you the other day, I bless you for accepting that challenge and we're going to move in that and figure this thing out and find a way that we can give blessings to somebody else, amen, in life and this life to come. Those of you that have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews, amen. Hebrews tonight. Amen. And good evening to everybody. Everybody, good evening. Amen. All right. Yes, Lord. I think I want Hebrews. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I'm using the Bible, my Bible, and not electronic devices tonight. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, I think, is where I want to go. I'm not, I'm sorry, if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 12. When you get there, let me know you're there. Hebrews chapter 12. Sort of familiar, amen, for some of us, this passage of scripture, but we've been talking about walking in God's glory and manifesting His glory in the earth realm as it relates to expressing God, who our God is, making Him known to this world as far as we know it and where He's placing and sending us. However, sometime in, you know, as we've been sharing certain subjects and some subject matters we've discussed, you know, past performances and life, and lifestyles, and things like that sometimes prohibit our movement into our destiny or towards our destiny, being able to walk confidently in our purpose. And that is very easily said than done. Easily said than done, especially if, you know, if your understanding in your, you know, in your earlier years or earlier times or pre-breakthrough. Some of us had to literally be snatched out of some stuff. Like we needed a breakthrough, you know. And what you couldn't take an herb for this or pop a pill for that or get a shot. But literally, you know, we had to have breakthrough moments. And it was through those moments, amen, that we got free and we got free from it. But is it really out? Are we really free from the struggle or the results, the evidence thereof? Amen. And so Hebrews 12, beginning at verse number 1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Underline set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks you to son. My son, blah, blah, blah. Let's skip down to verse number 7. It says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all become partake, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. You're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of the Spirit and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, in other words, the chastisement or the the response to our activities, the Bible says that it was a man for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. That which is lame, that is not dislocated, but it's rather that it be healed. Now, I don't know who this is with this squeaking, this thing, but I need y'all to help me tonight. Amen. And so, somebody that's unmuted, so whoever is unmuted and you feel like you got some bad connection, mute, help me out and mute. Amen. However, the Bible says, he says that number one, that the chastisement that I'm giving you is correction. I'm correcting you, and I'm not trying to bring harm to you. I'm trying to correct you. And in most sectors, in a lot of sectors, especially in urban places oftentimes, that we take chastisement or correction in a wrongful manner. And because we're not easily corrected, because we are resistant, which is somewhat known as being defiant, we are resistant to the correction because we take correction as abuse. We take it as abuse. It is abnormal to us. It is abnormal use of our time, abnormal use of whatever is going on by way of correcting or altering our behavior. And so when somebody is challenging us in our behavior, we resist it, you know, and we find this in parents, in certain places where, little Johnny could be whatever. But the moment you say something to Johnny to correct him, which is profitable for him, it is something in us that cannot receive correction that causes us to lash out at the one that is bringing the correction, which is actually bringing the beneficial profit to our lives. We can't profit in our life or grow in our life because we're not able to receive, amen, the alterations that God is sending our way. And so sometimes the resistance or the lack or the drought in your life is not because the devil is doing anything. It just might be because God is trying to alter something in you so that he can reform that, so that he can better your performance in and throughout life. Are you here? Now, he's trying to reform it. I didn't say he was trying to destroy it. He is trying to reform it. The Bible says instead of dislocating it, he is just trying to get it to the point that it becomes healthy. That it becomes healthy. It's not that God is trying to take your sex life from you. He's trying to give you a healthy sex life. And a healthy sex life is not healthy if you're walking in condemnation, if you're walking in guilt, if you're walking in shame, if you're walking in fear, it's not healthy. If you're walking and you're performing illegitimately, meaning outside of the given covenant or outside of covenant with God and man, amen. Because as long as you are intimate without a covenant, without God or man, amen, you are what the Bible calls a fornicator. A fornicator is one that is lewd and lucid. And what makes him lewd, lucid, or illicit is because he is resisting the connection of covenant and agreement. I told you before that there should be some term or agreement before entering into your body, because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and there are procedures and there are how-tos, and there should be some reasonable expectations if I'm going to let you touch my holy thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? My holy thing, my sanctified thing, my consecrated. Do you understand that my body is sanctified because, not because, help me, Holy Ghost, not because my body doesn't desire things, amen, that my spirit tells it shouldn't. My body is sanctified, hallelujah, because my mind has been renewed. And the renewal of my mind helps me to walk in the understanding of the purpose of my body. And therefore, I don't allow my body to go to places that will bring destruction, amen, by reason of torment on my mind. It's not your body that's the problem. It is your thinking that is the problem. Your body only went where your mind told it to go. It gyrated the way your mind saw it moving. It maneuvered and wiggled and did every other thing that it does to entice, to tip, to satisfy, to perform, or to prove, amen, based upon what was going on in your psyche, your mindset, where your mind was. Somebody may think of intimacy one way, where somebody else may think of intimacy another way. To one person, it is all of life and some more, but to somebody else, it's just an activity. Same thing, same act, just a different psyche, a different thought process that's going into. to this situation. Somebody understand that in respect and regard to their covenant, that this body belongs to such and such, and therefore I don't take this body outside of the agreement. But when it's in agreement, I take this body to do what this body has agreed to do, and that is surrender. That's why the Bible says that the body or the marriage bed or the covenant bed is undefiled, and God sanctifies that thing. He sets it apart above all other activities and says, have your way, have your way, because it has been consummated and consecrated through the activity of blood. Yes, that is what's happening when you are allowing somebody to go in your body. You are making another pledge and treaty and a commitment and a covenant. And you are doing it by expressing and exchanging DNA. Hello. You are making a blood covenant every time you lay down and open yourself up to have intimacy. Are you here? Now, somebody say, well, that sounds only like, Pastor, like you're talking primarily to a female. Well, what does that mean with the brother? Well, if a brother enter into a temple that is unclean, the Bible says that that man becomes one. He says that when a man has intimacy with a harlot, he becomes one with a harlot. What is a harlot? A harlot is a woman that performs like a wife until she is out of the sight of the one that she said she was in commitment and covenant to. She's a harlot. She acts like a wife as long as the pay is right. Now, the pay doesn't always have to be monetary good. Sometimes the pay is just emotional, mental stimulation or satisfaction, or sometimes just physical comfort. And so to her, she did get paid for those 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or just for that all night. They got the satisfaction of having you, but unless you realize how important you are, you will never ever restrain your behavior, man, because you don't understand that once you enter into an unclean temple, you don't clean the temple. The temple affects and contaminates you. The Bible says you become one with that harlot. So if she a hoe, then you a hoe. And I understand that you feel you have right and privy to go talk about the woman that you had the one-night stand with. I understand you feel like you have rights to disrespect the woman you had a one-night stand with, but let me not excuse the behavior of the one-night stand, but let me bring some correction and understanding as it relates to both of y'all. She wasn't the only one walking in filth, but you actually was the one walking in filth, and reality is she might not have been walking in filth at all, because women give sex for the hopes of commitment, and men give commitment for the hope of sex. My God in here. And so the woman thought she was going into an agreement, only to not know she was being defrauded. And therefore, this is how women become not only pampered. And when I say pampered, pampered is a word or a term that is used as a worship article, with some as it relates to a worship artifact. So in other words, when you come against a holy vessel or a holy instrument and you are illegally touching it, you are tampering it. So the temple is tampered. It is not of the value nor of the ability or the potency of its original creation or its purpose, and therefore it cannot function in a divine manner. But everything is earthly, and the Bible says if you sow to the flesh, then the flesh will reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit will reap everlasting life. Somebody said, well, I thought that intimacy was all gold. No, it's not all physical. It's not all physical. When you see, this is what the man thought. The man thought it was all physical. He thought, I can just go up in this, not realizing that once he go in it, he become it. Because the temple is already defiled. And you cannot make holy what is defiled. It is defiled. It is defiled. It is defiled. This is why when a woman cheats on her husband, she is no longer usable in the Old Testament sense. She is no longer usable, but she she must be cast out and she must be murdered because she is no longer able to be the help to him. She is no longer able to be the fitting pit to his piece, to his puzzle. She is a tempered vessel now. She went from holiness to tempered. No good, non-usable. Non-usable, it's tempered. But wait a minute, there was no physical alterations. There was no adjustment. There was none of that going on. So why can't we use it? It still can speak. It still can talk. It still can move. It still can wiggle. But what you don't understand is it's not just physical. It is spiritual. And every time you lay down with something that is not rightfully in covenant with you, you are lying down with a foreign spirit, and the foreign spirit is company and joining with you. The problem with our frantic, emotional, and condemning behavior is because we got too many spirits sleeping in our bed at night. You thought because you got born again that you were, and your spirit was clean, but nobody told you that you got to speak to your flesh and let the flesh be quickened by the spirit so that your flesh can line up and be free from all of its inhabitations. You might have some foreign visitors that might not be in your flesh, but in your soul. How can you say this? Because you may not be sleeping with Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike anymore, but the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, it's all still there. The evidence, the results, it's all there. The insecurity, the fear, it's all there. It's all there. I want to show you something, and I show you the esteem of a woman that had the privilege of meeting a man for her life. And notice the confidence level of a woman that engages with a man that is a truthful husband, now. I'm not just talking about a man that you carry his name, but I'm talking about a truthful husband now, a truthful husband where the Bible says that he renders due affection to his woman. Yeah, there is a due affection that is due you, sisters. But see, nobody taught you that. So you think that your job is just to perform like the harlot. No, there is a due affection that's due to you. Oh, God. There's a due affection due you. You want your due. And due has to do with pay. I want my payoff, but now watch me here, because I watch me here, and I'm not talking about monetary, but I am paying. There is reward exchange for the service that you perform in that man's life, amen, that is expected for you to receive. You cannot perform at your best if you never ever receive some level or time of appreciation. And there is a place for a woman, and this is why she is always reaching for touch. She's reaching for touch. She's reaching for physicality. So she thinks, when the reality is she wants you to embrace her soul by looking into her eyes and telling her, honey, you're beautiful, you're special, you're loved, you're all of that and some more, and I couldn't make it without you, and I'm glad you're here to be everything that you are, while you're not just entering and engaging to her, but what you're saying is to her is you're speaking to her, but you're really speaking to yourself. Because the two becomes one. So when you have dialogue in that place, you're talking to yourself. I know you think he's talking to you, boo, but he's talking to himself. Ah. And however he feels about himself is what he's saying at that moment. Even better, I got one better on you. However he feels about himself is what he is not saying. And so you're taking it as you, but it's not you. The Bible said that when a man loves his wife, when he loves his body, he loves his wife. That's Ephesians 5. He said when a man loves his body, he loves his wife. In other words, when he loves himself, he loves her, because he understands that when we are engaging in intimacy, it is not me and her, but it is us. It is not a competition. It is a collaboration. And most people that out there thinking they're doing something is really in competition. You're just trying to show one another, oh, God help me in here today. See, if it's really right, it's not about me at all. It's about what I can give, not about what I can receive. And if I'm a rightful man or a rightful husband leads all the way. He don't just lead in stewarding over the finances, but he leads in every aspect of the relationship, including the lovemaking. Remember, when Esther came into his chambers, she came into a chambers that was already prepared. See, when he's a rightful husband, he can set it up for you. Why? Because he is setting his platform, his environment, and his stage so he can speak a word. So he can speak a word, and he can watch over his word. And therefore, when he get up, he's going to watch over his word to perform it. And therefore, if you got the right one, when you get up, you won't feel condemnation. You won't feel, help me, Jesus, you won't feel condemnation. You won't feel guilt. You won't feel regret. But you'll feel more of a lady than you did before you laid down. Why? Because you will feel initiated. You will feel ignited. You will feel like it's time to engage something greater than what I just experienced. That was just the kickoff to the next phase. It was just a confirmation that you and I are on the same page. We are one, and we agree, baby. So let's go get it. Let's strengthen ourselves in this moment. Let's increase our tenacity. Let's grow our strengths together now. I trust you and you trust me, baby. I trust you and you trust me. No latex, no nothing, just me and you. Let's go. God, help me, Jesus, in here. Help me in here. Can I get a witness? Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Says he endured this cross. Jesus endured this cross. He endured this cross. He endured the cross, and he despised the shame. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance for the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before us, he endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now, they are in, the people are having are stumbling at the fact, amen, of Jesus being on the cross. One was because if Jesus was on the cross, it was contradictory to him being a Messiah or being who he said he was. Because they figure if he was who he said he was, he wouldn't be where he is. Because the Mosaic law or the law of Moses said that curse is every man that hangeth on the tree. So if you get on the cross, then we must deem disqualify you, cancel you out because you got on the cross based upon our opinion connected to our self-made rule. I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to help somebody get free from past performances and behaviors. So the opinion of the Jewish people, which was his own people, said, look, I understand that you walked on water, you multiplied loaves and fish, and you did all these great things. No, but you never had a bad strike against you. But if you do this, not only must we see you as cursed, but we must disqualify every other thing that we've seen you do and do well. If you have done this, if you do this, we must disqualify you. And Jesus is understanding of this because he's understanding the culture. So now he is in a place of the subject, subjected to the opinion of people at a moment. Because again, if he is going to reign Lord, he's going to reign Lord over something. If he's going to be a Messiah, he's going to be a Messiah to somebody. And so in order for him to be what he needs to be to somebody, he's not only going to have to get over their opinion, but he's going to have to get over their opinion, not just for his sake, but even for their sake. And watch this. Their opinion of him is keeping them from the freedom and the liberty that they actually need, because the freedom that they need is actually in him, but they can't get to the solutions and the answers in him because they're too arrested, if you would, by the opinion or the thought or the dogma of the religiosity or the opinion of religion. And religion says that, yes, you did all these wonderful things for all these years, but if you do this one thing, or if you have done this one thing, we must disqualify you. And Jesus said, if you're ever going to fulfill your purpose, because he said he did this for the joy that was set before him. Before him. In other words, where he was headed was to something that was pre-planned in the spirit, in divinity on his behalf. But in order to get what God had for him, he was going to have to get through this moment of contradiction. Because for him to be on the cross was a contradiction. Because for him to be on the cross refuted what it was said in the Mosaic law, where he said, curses every man that's hanging on a tree. And if you get on that cross, we must disqualify you. If you go through something, we must disqualify you from being a Messiah. You cannot be our guy. You cannot be that woman that we thought you were. You cannot be a minister. You cannot be a pastor, because you have had some things that have suggested to us, based upon our opinions and the opinions of others, that have been written, that if you do this and you do it like that. Now, it's funny that the people that write the rules and write the laws and write the stuff that try to hold you up to this certain standard, it's amazing how many people try to hold you up to standards that they cannot keep. It's simply amazing. It's amazing how they prejudge you based up on the things that they feel like they've got to hold on. Like, for instance, because they're cleaning their house now, they believe that they have the right to talk about your dirt or your exposed or your obvious issues. But let me tell you something about God. God is the type of God that would take a white glove and go into your couch and dig out the stuff that's not obvious to the eye, so that you can shut your little lips and shut your little opinion down, because all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Not y'all have sinned, but all have sinned. Not some have sinned. All have sinned. And notice what he said. All sin and fall short. Not a past tense thing. Present tense. All sin. All might sin. We all going to do something one day. Have done something. Come on now. Chill out with your little opinion and keep your opinion to yourself. Because the same ones that got an opinion, he says, he's without sin, you throw the first stone. If you have no issue, you go ahead and throw the first stone. And the Bible says that the oldest to the youngest filed right on out of there. Why? Because the oldest one had more dirt, had more issues, had done more stuff. But it seemed like people need to hide their stuff by pointing out your stuff and talking about that if you were who you said you were, then why are you always hanging around on this cross? Why you're always going through something? Why you're carrying something? And more so, why have you had these evidential things in your life that prove to us in your past, if you are who you say you are? And I want you to know that you are who God said you are. You can do what God said you can do. I understand. One of the hardest things for me going into ministry was that I was a single father and had children out of wedlock. Because I understood how people felt like that in ministry. See, my eyes were on people in ministry, a certain type of people in ministry. And people in ministry disqualify you if you've had children out of wedlock. Are you here? Some of you have been disqualified because you got pregnant out of wedlock. There's some places and spaces that you can't even participate in ministry if you have certain things that people refer to as sin. Now, if I was to really get into it, well, let me get out of that. Let me not go there. However, he says he endured the cross, and the way he endured the cross, and again, to endure means to stand the pressure, stand weight, stand whatever's thrown on top of you. You got to be able to stand it. You got to be able to stand it. He said, but you cannot stand the weight if you keep adding weight to the pressure, which means that if you don't confront those things that are needed to be confronted, we don't confront the things that need to be confronted, then we, and the reason we're not confronting them, because they are intimidating to us, and what makes them so intimidating is there is the availability, but yet the exclusivity and the repeated and rapid availability that those of them have to us. He said, let us lay aside every sin and weight that so easily beset us. And notice what it does. We're after the thing that was set before us, which is purpose. But there's a thing that is besetting us, that is pulling us away instead of drawing us closer to the thing that is set before. There's a thing that is set before us. But we've disqualified ourselves for the thing that is set before us because we have taken the evaluation of other people concerning the things that we have revealed or maybe obviously exposed in one way or another. But trust and believe. Some of those same disqualifiers don't even stand a chance to really have anything to say. And they, if they were smart, they'd be quiet. Because if they knew that the same measure in which you judge, you shall be judged in the same measure. Not in the same offense, but the same measure. And it comes back. When our job as believers is to pray for one another while we are enduring our cross, and better yet, when we're going through our seasons of uncomfortable heat, if you understand what I'm saying to you. And there's no way for the impact of the Holy Ghost to really be present and up on your life without it waking your flesh up. Because the impact of the Holy Ghost, especially if you're a normal, fluid, and flowing human being, all your levels are still working properly, it is no way that the Holy Ghost do not wake you up, because the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God moves you in ways that your flesh, amen, has been arisen. And once the anointing lifts, and the anointing lifts, you have to deal with you. And you got to have tools there to be able to conquer your behavior when what happens is what we call the lust of the flesh. When the lust of the flesh is doing its job. See, it is lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh is in the world. The Bible says all in the world is the lust of the flesh. It's in the world. It's there. It's going to be there. So I need you to understand, because your flesh wants something that may not be best for it to have, doesn't mean that you are an alien or foreign being, which means that you shouldn't disqualify yourself because you're blood-washed, Bible-toting, tongue-talking, believing Satan God. So now because you're believing Satan God, tell me your body don't work no more? You still go to the bathroom. Because when everything is functioning right, it is functioning right. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? And you better have some tools. You better have some tools for understanding to help you in that time. Lest you run into a place where you crash and burn and may never recover. Let us lay aside every sin and weight that so easily beset or removes us or draws us away from our purpose. We cannot lay that weight down if we don't first be honest and confront it. And being honest and confronting it means that I first got to admit it and accept it to myself. Usually when I get hit over the head
and taken down, amen, without my knowledge is because I presume that I could just spiritually move something and not realizing there are just some things you cannot move by the Spirit.
Oh, God, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus.
See, when you got a hold on whatever it is that you feel you got a hold on, you didn't get a hold on it because you start talking in tongues, boo. You got a hold on it because you got renewed in your mind. You got some psyche renewal. You got some behaviors and some tools that help you to help you psychologically. Because so as a man thinketh. That's what the Bible says. As a man thinketh, so is he. As he think,
mm-hmm.
so is he. I am in this physical state because that's how I think. That's why, you know, some people, they feel like the answer to, amongst couples, that the answer to all their problems is just hop in the bed and do something. No, that might be the worst thing you can do at a time, especially because sometimes it's not a physical situation. You have to remember the whole intention of sex is for celebration. Yes, the Bible says in the beginning God made man, he made him male and female, he made him. God made him. God made man, male and female, and the Bible says he took female out of the man and made a woman, amen, and brought the woman that was taken out of the man's body back to the man, and the Bible said that he was, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, flesh of my flesh, flesh of my flesh. When God made the woman, you remember that God closed the flesh up in the place where he took the bone net out at. And he brought that woman that came out of him back to him. And the Bible says the two became one. They became one. They became one. Remember earlier I was telling you when they become one, then the husband or the male is one with her. And therefore, whatever you speak to her, you are speaking to yourself. Help me, Jesus. You are one at that moment. One. The Bible says he becomes one with the harlot. So if you sleep with a hoe, then that makes you a hoe. If you sleep with a wife, that makes you a husband. Because only a true wife will receive and identify a rightful husband. But a wife will not let a loose man run up in her because she understands the value and the value and the significance and the sacredness of her temple. And so, yes. Therefore, she doesn't want her tempo tampered anymore because she just finally got the skill level, hallelujah, to be able to resist some temptation. She just got the skill level and the tools to be able to get her body to act and to behave at a certain time. And it cost her so much to get them tools that before she let you come up in here fooling around, she'd rather close the blind, close the door, and figure it out herself. That's a wife now. That's a wife. But a female got needs. Got needs. They got needs, and they're needy. And they're needy. And they're really out of control. Because the psyche is messed up. Why do you keep talking about the psyche? Because Jesus endured the cross. You know how he endured the cross? The Bible said he despised the shame. But in despising the shame, do you not know that word despise means to think down or think other than? In mm-hmm. other words, if he would have kept thinking like everybody was suggesting his posture on the cross was, which was a shame or a dreadful. And remember, it was their opinion of him. And that's what shame is. Shame is the state of being that people put you in.
All right.
People put you in shame. See,
amen.
You wasn't shamed because if you were really that shame, you wouldn't have been doing as much as you were doing to be ashamed. You didn't get shamed until somebody else gave you their opinion about what it was that you were doing, even if you didn't tell them it was you.
Yeah.
So then it's a matter of how you think about what you did. But remember, you didn't think about it that way until somebody else gave you their opinion, which means that that might not be your conviction yet. And so therefore it is your guilt. And therefore, you're saying, God, take this away from me. And God is saying, I ain't trying to take it away from you. I'm not trying to dislocate it. I'm trying to heal it.
Yeah.
You're going to need that. Talking about you want a husband, but you tell my Lord, take it away. The devil is a liar. You won't have him too long, I promise you.
Okay. All right.
I can promise you that. Look, read the scripture. He said he's not trying to dislocate that thing. He's trying to heal it. Show you how to properly use it, but you can't properly use it if you're in denial and lying to yourself.
Hey, all right. Teacher, help us today.
You can't lie to yourself, because when you lie to yourself, you become obnoxious. You'll find yourself becoming quick, rude. That's where that come from.
Yeah.
See, we're the only one lying about this. Let me tell you something. When a dog is in heat, he ain't hiding it. He ain't hiding it. Trust me. Everybody know that thing in heat. You can't even go visit your friend's house when a dog in heat, because you got to say, look, get your dog. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because
yeah.
it is a natural thing that the church acts like, you know, it is natural. But it becomes perverted and polluted when we don't stop and have this here conversation and remember that Pastor said, it's a matter of my mind, so a man think it. Think it. That's why you don't do your one of the tools might be is I understand that I don't need to watch this here program. See, 50 Shades of Grey for Mr. and Mrs. Smith is one thing, but 50 Shades of Grey, just me all by myself, single and alone with opportunities, may stimulate my creativity. That see, even understand what I'm saying to you. We have to be kept. We learn the tools on how to train our minds to honor God. Understanding that honoring God is honoring myself. I am his temple. And as a temple, I am holy. So only things that go into holy temples are sacred items. And it ain't. Let me help you, sisters. Let me love on you really quick. I know it's good and all that in the bag of chips, but it ain't sacred if it ain't yours. And it ain't yours if you don't control or have any say-so or when you can get it. Because when it's yours, not only does your body belong to him, but the Bible says his body belongs to you. Because husbands render due affection, the word says, to his wife. And I told you earlier, some of y'all are due some. And the thing is, that might be that thing that's waking up in you while you're in your single state. See, your singleness is the thing that qualifies you to be a wife. And the reason that some of us are not wives yet, because we ain't yet single. You may not have a man, but you ain't single. You still got too many people in you. You got too many lovers in you. You got too many. It's too much filth in you that you ain't released and got out of you yet, and that's why your mind goes all over the place. But for those that have become single and you've been pressing towards the mark and you've been riding with God really strong, what's happening in you, and you're trying to feel guilty about this thing that's waking up in you. You're like, wait a minute. I just told you, when a man finds you,
He is not finding you if you are, if he finds you as a girlfriend, he's going to treat you like a girlfriend. But if he finds you as a wife, you're going to have some level of covenant and agreement. And so a man that finds a wife, he finds her as a wife. A wife is a single, when I use the word single, I'm using a whole. She's a whole woman. Because in order to have a whole relationship, you cannot have two halves to make a whole. You have to have two wholes to make a whole relationship. And you can't be whole and then he be a half, or she be a half and you be a whole, or both y'all be half trying to make a whole. No, you have to know who you are, be and know so much about who you are and where you're going, because you're going after the joy that is set before you, to the point that you know what is necessary in order for you to get there. And if you're real about it, you might wake up and realize, I might not need nobody to get me there. Having somebody there might get in my way. Oh, God, help me. What did it mean when Paul said, I wish you all could be like me and have no need to be married? What did he mean? Did he say he was celibate, or we suggested he was celibate? This man who was a notorious street runner and killer and hustler, known all throughout Jerusalem, to the point that the major disciples who saw Jesus turn water into wine and do all this significant stuff were scared of him, was celibate? Okay. Whether he was or not, he said, he called marriage a need. He said, but you all need to be. So you go ahead. And the reality is, when he was talking about marriage, he was talking about it in the reference of walking in faith. He was saying, y'all go ahead and get married, because if y'all don't get married, y'all won't be able to believe God for anything else no more, because you'd be too busy walking around in condemnation and guilt. So go ahead and get married to satisfy your guilt. Wait a minute. That's what I thought. Yeah, that's the way to satisfy your guilt. Therefore, you can think down the things that are making you feel bad. Help me, Jesus. Somebody trying to figure out why is this stuff coming up. It's coming up because, remember, I tell you there's a paycheck coming. Maybe your due is on its way. Maybe your due is up. And it's calling. It's calling. In nature, there is a mating call. In the animal kingdom, there is a mating sense, if you would. There's a sense of mating. It's amazing how each the male or female find each other. And I'm not just talking about any male or female, but the rightful females out of each animal camp or pack comes together and find each other. It's a mating call. Somebody's in a, you're calling, baby. Your mate is calling you. You're calling him. You're calling each other. That's why you see exactly what kind of man you want to be with. And that's why you won't take no counterfeit, because you have become single and now you have qualified to be a wife. And the evidence that it's your time is that your due affection is ringing loud in your flesh and your soul. And you're trying to say, okay, what's hope? Okay. Let me tell you something. And you see exactly what you will and what you will not tolerate. And you have got it under so much control that you're not saying that, hey, that sometime I don't feel like I want to dislocate this thing. What you're saying is that I have gotten my mind in check so much by way of the word of God, being in the presence of God, that I will not shipwreck myself nor my destiny over a moment in my temple that is holy, that I'm not really sure if this dude is sacred.
Thank you, man.
I'm not really sure. If you are not really sure, then you need not to unfasten, unbuckle, or lift up anything. Don't you move on uncertainty. I done told you, you better close the door, lock the window, shut the blinds down, and figure it out before you let somebody come worship in there. Because now you got to deal with getting your mind back. That's why I wish some of you older folk would have had enough guts to sign up so you can tell these young folk that this thing still get hot. But what I've learned to do is not to just easily give my mind away, because the first thing you think about is this. Do I want to go on this mental roller coaster after the fact? Now, somebody else would say the generation that we serve now, they don't go on mental roller coasters because they don't connect themselves mentally. The society says that they are disconnected and heartless. Paul says like this in Timothy, if related to perilous times. He says they are without feeling. They are without feeling. They have no feeling, which means that they are in a real stronghold. Because even a prostitute wants love, connection, covenant, commitment. Even a hoe wants that. And so, yes, you party, you did all this stuff, and you went to breakfast, then you went to bed with whoever you met at the club, and you woke up that morning thinking like, oh, girl, I just did this, and da-da-da-da-da, and thought you was going to keep it moving. And then you start thinking about him later on that day. You ran back into him next time, then y'all got together again, and you thought it was just your flesh. No, it wasn't your flesh, because if it was your flesh, baby, your flesh would still be going after you got out the shower. No, it was your mind. It was your mind. That's when y'all finally broke up, you realized he wasn't all of what you thought he was, because he was in your mind. He was an infigmentation of your imagination. He was one of those vain imaginations that was exalting itself above the knowledge of God. It was in your mind. It was in your mind. It was in your mind that you was going to transform him into this. You was going to transform him into that. Let me help you with something, ladies. If you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, if he is the sacred that is to come into your temple, he is to come into your temple and not just be an artifact, because if he is going to be what God has called you to be, he didn't come to be a fork. He didn't come to be a spoon. He didn't come to be a chair. He didn't come to be a table. He didn't come to be a candlestick. He came to be the high priest. He came to be the high priest, baby, which means that when he came to clean you up, prepare you, and get you so ready that before he ever touched you, your mind was so right. There was such relationship. There was such a presence that was up on that thing that the presence was undeniable. So I made him call. My Lord has come to worship today. And when my Lord comes to worship, he expects me to serve the Lord with gladness and not with madness. He said, if I be lifted, I'll draw everything in this room up. He said, enter into my gates with thanksgiving. Don't you come up in here with your mouth poked out. Enter into your courts with praise. Tell me, Daddy, you look good today. Be thankful unto him. I appreciate all that you've done for me. Oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you're worshiping somebody that you can't praise? You're having sex with somebody you can't praise? You're giving your body to somebody you can't praise? You're giving your temple to somebody you can't praise because you're hot? You ain't had none until you had somebody you can worship. You ain't had nothing until you had somebody you could praise, girl. You ain't did nothing yet. Your God, your Father above you, is expecting that every time you open yourself up that way, that you are a replica and a duplicate of the heavenly tabernacle and the experience of worship between God and his church. And so whenever you just going out just trying to get some, oh, you get more than just physical, honey. You get more than you can pay for. And like I said, these older chickens understand this. They'll tell you in a minute, "Ooh, girl, man, he fine as wine, good as wood. If I didn't, I wish I could. My goodness, Lord, today. But I can't take that mental ride, girl. Mm-mm. I don't know if I'm ready to go through that. I better go take a cold shower. Go get in my Bible. Go get in my word. Go for a walk. Go exercise. Go do something. Because right now, I ain't ready to take that ride." And that is maturity. That is maturity. And trust me, a man like me would appreciate somebody like that. God bless your heart and all your parts. Thank you for being honest enough to say, "Hey, man, okay, good. Good. Because I ain't trying to take your mind, girl." Ooh, somebody just said, "I love my pastor." God dog it. I'm just telling you the truth. The truth. Don't you know the Bible says that you're supposed to serve the Lord with your mind, not just with your spirit? I need my mind, man. The Bible says I'm supposed to guard my heart and my mind so I can serve God. You'd be surprised how many people have been places, done things, and you don't even see them in fellowship no more because they done got a date. Their mind just gone. Just heart all over the place. The Bible calls you silly. You have no standard. You have no direction, no stance. You have no place, no ideal where you're going, what you want to do, what you shall become. Anything worshiped there. Everything expresses. All everywhere. All in the name of, "I just had to right now." No, baby, you're a woman now. You're a woman now. And not just a woman, but you're a woman of God. You are ordained for someone. Someone is calling for you right now in the spirit. Don't even know it. Some man is crashing and burning and need his help, mate. Some man has huge responsibility that he can just glorify the Lord God, amen, on this earth, but he can't get it done because he don't have his help, and he's waiting and looking for you. But he's looking for a whole person. He don't need the evidence of what your last boyfriend did to you. He don't need the, matter of fact, what kind of woman are you if you still got him in your new situation's face? You ain't ready for a mate yet because the ex shouldn't even be nowhere around the new. The ex should never even have that much influence. If it's over, let it be over, baby. Let it be over. He can't keep coming. No, because that means you are dipsuke. What you partly over here, then you partly over there. You're trying to be in this, but you're over there. No. Now you're playing games, sweetie. You're playing games. And trust me, women play some real games. Yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. All men ain't the only dog. Y'all laughing, but men ain't the only dogs. Trust me. They play some real games. Some real games. I've been part of some real stuff. Like, whoo, they do that. Okay. Wow. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you become more careful. It's called maturity. You get careful and you become wise. You don't give as much so easily. I was sharing with somebody before. I said, look, you learn. I think I was sharing to the colonel. I said, you learn how not to fall in love so easily. Can I get a witness? Make sure you don't fall in it. I said, you got to learn how to lean in love. You lean in it. you test it out. You move. You take your time. You patience them. Make sure you right.
Amen.
So that, and therefore, you can expect what is right. You know, y'all lean in love. I don't fall in love no more. I'm just, mm-mm. You better find out how these people act under pressure before you start being in love. You better find out something else he got besides pretty teeth and a nice smile. You better find something else out. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. Because you are too valuable. And let me help you with the last part. You don't want to extend your time longer than you should. What is the cap on your time? Not somebody else's, on yours. Yours may be unlimited, but maybe because that's, you just know that you know that you know. But for someone else, what is the cap on your time? How much time are you going to give to nurture this? How much time are you going to give to that? If you're 70, I can't date you for 10 years, man. I can't date you 20 years. Not unless I've made my mind up that I'm never going to get married again. And I don't believe that's the will of God for anybody that's on the line. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You have too much revelation to share. You have too much to give. And therefore, God wants to use your life in conjunction with somebody else's life, but somebody that can appreciate the value of what you are. But no one can appreciate the value of what you are until you appreciate your own value and expect value and learn to assess it and learn to critique it. Value. How to estimate value. What is the value do I have in this situation? Do I have my due affection? What is my due affection? What should I reasonably be expecting from this situation? It's my due affection so that he can dwell with me, because he'll dwell with me with understanding. So he know what I need. I tell people all the time, a real man know what you need before you need it. He know what you need. If he's yours, he know what you need. And most of the time, you know what you want. He know it before you even said it, before you acted on it, so you didn't have to throw them little clues and stuff like that and start and making hints to stuff you want for your birthday. He knows exactly what you need. He know what you need. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So sometimes you need, before you make a solid decision, you need to make sure that, number one, can this man hear from God? Have he proven that he can hear from God? Remember, before God gave Adam Eve, he had that those animals pass before Adam, and Adam called them whatever their names was, because God was quoting to Adam what the names of the animals were, and he was making sure that he heard them right. And because he heard him right, he said, okay, now it's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to give you a wife because I see that you can hear me now. And if you're hearing me, that means you are responding to me, which means that you are able to respond, which means you are responsible. Why are you giving your life to somebody that is not responsible? Why are you submitting to something that is not responsible? Matter of fact, you don't even know if they're responsible. Have you ever put them in a position to be responsible? Are you so by yourself still that you're controlling and you don't know how to let loose and let somebody be responsible for you? And if you can't let somebody be responsible for you, then you might need to reconsider before you start connecting yourself to something, for you not only mess your life up, but you mess that man's life up. Because you're controlling, afraid, and insecure. Everything is secretive with you. You live in the same house, but you're living in the same house single. You didn't get in that house to be single. Y'all came together to be one. Other than that, you're just roommates. So if we roommates, don't ask me when I'm coming, when I'm going, and where I'm going to, or where I'm coming from. We roommates. I pay my part, you pay yours. And when I can no longer be your roommate, I need to go my way, you need to go your way, but no need for us to be playing these games, because somebody wants to render to me my due affection. And I'm a due some affection. I'm due a date night. I'm due a movie on the couch. I'm due some kind of stuff. I'm due for some man to grab me by the hand and take me into the presence of the Lord. I'm due to feel connected and covered on the holidays. I'm due.
I'm God's creation made on this earth to do wonderful work. That's not snobby or stuck up. It's just that I have realized my value, my worth. I understand my life and my experiences that I'm not willing to surrender my holy to a tempered vessel. You can't come up in here, man. I'm closing the blinds, shutting the door, and I've decided to figure it out tonight. Good night. Don't call me until daybreak. Bye. You understand? Going to read my words so I can get up and get on this prayer call in the morning. Be fooling with you. Need my mind. You're not certain about where you want to be. Or you over there making yourself one with all kind of harlots. Harlots. When a man goes to a woman that refuses commitment or covenant, she is a harlot. She's a harlot. She is a deceiver. She is posing to be a precious vessel, a female counterpart, but she is a harlot. Designed for me and her to connect as one, but she doesn't want oneness. She wants to be available and open to whatever or to whomever will enter for whatever reason. She's a harlot. And the Bible says when you go into a woman like that, you become one with that woman. And so stop talking about these women that you done been with. So again, if he's talking about you and trying to shame you for something that y'all did, he really talking about himself. Which means that you should free yourself and let your mind be free. Because I'm no longer what I've done. God washed me with his blood, and he sanctified my mind wholly, gave me back my body, not in fragments, but whole. And I thank God. And that's why you're careful about how you take it now. Man, I wish y'all would have wrote me. Because I need y'all to tell the truth to these people. It ain't always easy. Without a scripture, without a prayer, without a poem, let me tell you how it is. Let me holler at you for a quick minute. And trust me, these young adults and these young women will appreciate you all the better for it. And they will no longer keep living lives of condemnation and shame and fear of being disrespected or criticized or ridiculed. But they're trying to get to where you're at. Hallelujah. I want my mind. I want to keep my mind. And where I don't have my mind, I want it back. Because I got a place that I got to be. He said, for the joy that was set before him, he had to get rid of these weights, these sins. But at the same time, some things wasn't supposed to be dismissed. He just wanted to make it right, make it healthy. He's not trying to take it from me. Just trying to make sure I get it right. Trust me, you can have it right. You can have it right. You can have it right. The reason we don't get right is because we settle for wrong. You knew it was wrong the first week. You tried to make it right. Don't settle for wrong when you can have it right. Is that all right tonight, y'all?
Yeah.
Stop allowing your holy temple to be available for artifacts that are unholy, that are tampered, that are not usable for worship. Because I don't just leave that physical moment. I notice that my life is being engaged and entwined into this being. And if you don't mean me well, sir, can you just please just don't even come over here? Because right now I'm trying to live my life as a worship.
and I want to be with my King. I want to be with my Lord. I want to be with my God. I want to be with who I'm supposed to be with. And I want to be with the one that want to be with me. I want to be with the one that want to be with me.
You don't want a man, baby, that you can live without. That you can live without. You want a man that you can't live without. Are you understanding that? And more so, you want a man that can't live without you. Hello?
Amen.
And I told you, you are the irrevocable. You are the irresistible. You are the excellently made. You are the all. You are the daughter of the Most High God. You are it. You are it. I told you. Faith got Adam to do. She got Adam to go against God. I'm trying to tell you something. He got Adam to do. And that was the whole point. Is that you have power to help some mighty man do some wonderful work in the earth that cannot be done unless somebody with your skill level, with your grace, with your anointing, with your tenacity, with your wisdom. But you can't bring that to the table if you all messed up, if you all jacked up, if you all depressed, if you all over the place in your mind. You can't do that. I need my mind back if I'm getting ready to be called to duty in the service, baby, so I can get my due affection. That's it and that's all. Anybody want to speak into what has been said tonight? You got about 40 seconds, amen, to speak into it. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace, Father, we bless you and give you praise, glory, and honor for things that you've done and doing. I thank you, Father, that you are looking beyond our faults and seeing our need. Father, we surrender our minds to you again and say, Lord, have our mind. Our mind. Renew our mind. Give us a strong mind, Lord. A strong mind. But also give us a discerning spirit, Lord, that we may see, and that we may know. And we may know that in those things that you have for us and those things that are not for us. Allow our spirit to be sensitive. And, Father, right now, I rebuke the counterfeits right now. I rebuke, Father, everything that is not like you, that is trying to enter into the lives of your family, of your children's lives, Father. I reject that coming, and I declare that it shall not come nigh us. But everything that is rightful for us, every person that is rightful for us, bring them to us now, and I pray. That the rightful things come into our life. That the blessed things be in our life. No longer do we welcome the foreigner. No longer do we welcome seducing and lewd spirit. But, Father, we reject the seductress. We reject, Father, those spirits now in the name of Jesus. And we welcome only those spirits of comfort and those spirits that come, Father, from the heavens to join us to those rightful things, those sanctified things, those pure things, those holy things. Lord, we're not asking you to dislocate us. We're asking you to bring health to us. Make us healthy, we pray. Make us healthy, we pray. I bless you for being sovereign. I thank you for being righteous. I thank you for being sanctification and redemption, justification for us as we receive it all now. But, Father, as we receive it all, we pray, Father, that you would give us your wisdom too. Wisdom to maneuver around. Wisdom, Father, to know right from wrong. Wisdom, Father, to do right. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you.
Amen.
I give you all glory. I give you all honor and praise because you're worthy of it. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, convict us of our wrong when we're wrong. Be on us, Father. be on us. That whenever we're being led in the wrong direction, be quick to convict us and pull us back, harness us. Harness, pull us back, in Jesus' name. For those that love the Lord says, amen. Have a fabulous
amen.
Night. God bless your heart and all your parts in
yeah.
Christ's name. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right, sir.
Amen.
Woo. Good night. I love you guys.
Good night, family.
Yes. Until
all
we
right. Good night.
Amen. Look, Dom, I want to hang up.
That was good.
I know, right? Boy, boo.
Good night.
That's Robin time. Boy, boo.
All right.
Gold.